I'd like to open up this session of the first Greek class, Koine Greek class of the New Testament. Good to see all of you in here. I think that I know that as we go in these lessons that you're going to constantly be learning things you don't know, or maybe some of you do know some of these things, but as we go, we're going to be building on knowledge of the original language that the Lord chose to write His New Testament through the Holy Spirit and through various apostles. And I believe that from day one, from this point on, this is going to be fruitful as we go. It's not going to be, you know, there's a lot of glitches and stuff probably to have to work out here, but I can't remember in my memory anybody ever attempting to do this before, you know. So you know, it's bound that we're going to have some trial and error and such, and do things over or look things over. But sort of what I wanted to do is to let you guys know that just as the Word of God states within itself that we all are supposed to endeavor to have ourselves approved unto God by studying His Word. And in that sense, nobody's going to study the Word of God for you. Your husband or wife aren't going to do it for you. Your children aren't going to do it for you, and neither are your parents going to do it for your children. So with that having been said, as we study the Koine Greek, this is not for the people that just want everything very easily. It's we're going to have to endeavor in it, just like the Word of God. And I believe it's going to pay benefits, just like the Word of God does. Not saying that what we're studying is inspired by God, but certainly you'll be able to you'll be able to have a new slant on the Lord's scriptures. So one thing, one of the rules is that that I wanted to mention is that while I'm talking, having questions would be kind of interruptive, you know. Of course, since everybody's locked down, there's not too much you can do about it anyway, you know. So that's kind of interesting. And but at the end of these lessons, we're going to open up the mic, and just like any other study, you can ask all the questions you want, and I don't know if I'll have all the answers. Maybe somebody will, but you know, questions are great, no matter what. But we got to get through a certain amount of material each time, or try to at least. And you know, so you know, we're gonna deal with questions at the end. The various levels of learning out there, I don't know all of you and what you know about the Koine Greek. Some of you might know more than others. Some of you might learn things a little differently than I'm going to teach over this session. I have what I'm going to be teaching you is one out of the text where that everybody should have. It's a really excellent text. It comes from the friend of one of the men that actually put your Greek New Testament together, Dr. Robinson. So I would figure that Dr. Robinson, who put together the Byzantine text in front of you, along with his friend, he should know if one of his fellow colleagues has good material or not. So I'm trusting in that. Also, too, Eddie the Greek, our friend down in Florida, he knows the Freibergs, who are currently working on big works in the Greek New Testament this day. Probably some of the most authoritative people in the whole world working on the Koine Greek today. So I have that inroad into what I'm going to be telling you. So you know, it's just not like I'm just coming, you know, stumbling out of a room or something like that. I've been around a little bit, and you know, but some of the things that I might go over here, you might have learned differently, and that's great. You can voice that at the end of these sessions, but for continuity, everything that we learn in this text is going to be followed through to the end, just for continuity's sake. Another rule is that I will go over lessons more than once if you guys all decide that you want to. At first, I thought about having the limit at 3. If that's the case, I think that would take us about 2.5 years to go through this book, something like that. That is to say, if we did every lesson 3 times, I think that would be 3 times 26 times 3. Is that what that would be? Yeah, 3 times 26, 78 times 3 would be, 234 weeks to get through this book. 243 weeks would be roughly 4 years. You know, if that's what you want to do, that's fine. I don't mind doing that at all, if that's what you'd like to do. But we're going to take a vote at the end of each lesson. This beginning one, I don't, you know, and then I was thinking, well, how long should we make these lessons? Well, the average human being starts getting a little bit antsy, a little bit nervy after about 45 to 60 minutes, something like that. We can take breaks if you want. We can go for an hour and a half if you want. You know, that's fine. I mean, hour and a half might be good. So we're going to have to decide on that. But here again, this is an opening learning experience, and it's an experiment. It's something that I've never seen done before. So we have to be patient. You know, we have to be patient with what Barney's doing. Because you know, this has never been done before. What can I say? It's great. It's an adventure, and so is learning what we're going to do in the Koine Greek. You know, so from this point on, you're going to be on kind of like an adventure, and no matter, even if you get through this first lesson, your knowledge of the Greek will never be the same, because you're going to know more than when you walked in the door for dinner tonight at your home. You're going to know more about the Greek than earlier today. That having been said, what I want to do is all of you in your textbook, turn to page, it's Roman numeral 7. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to read a few of the pages written by the author about what he's going to attempt to teach us in these lessons. I think it's very important. We're going to go over some words about language. I'm going to define them for you too. And so that's what I'm going to do tonight. At least we're going to start out by reading a few of the beginning pages in this text. So I feel that if everybody's there, the page is Roman numeral 7, and it says about the author. All right? So I'll give you another few seconds, and then I'm going to start there. You know, and if you guys want to take a break for 5 minutes, you know, just text it down there, and I'll see it. All right? I have no problem with that. I have a problem with a lot of people doing that a lot of times, though, you know. But, yeah. And then also, too, like in any college course, monetary bribery will get you a long way. That was a joke. All right. Well, let's start with page Roman numeral 7 about this book. Here we go. The Greek language has always had a particular attraction for both readers and expositors of the New Testament. More than 100 introductory grammars of New Testament Greek have been produced in English alone, many of them by scholars of the first rank. It would be unusual, therefore, if the present grammar did not contain a great deal that has appeared elsewhere. And I am sure that the call for this book did not arise from the deficiencies of its predecessors. I find, nevertheless, some satisfaction in the knowledge that any subject is promoted, in however small a degree, by the independent treatment of the same material in the light of the most recent research. Accordingly, the aim of this present volume, which was written at the kind invitation of the publishers, has been to meet the need for up-to-date subject matter, a linguistically informed methodology, and an emphasis on contemporary models of language learning. The simplified explanations, basic vocabularies, and abundant exercises are designed to prepare the student for subsequent practical courses in exegesis. What's exegesis? Well, exegesis is this. It's the critical explanation or interpretation of Scripture. Exegesis, the critical explanation or interpretation of Scripture. So this author is producing this text so that each of us will have the ability for exegesis of the Almighty's New Testament, Koine Greek. While the linguistic emphasis lays the groundwork for later courses in grammar, it is my hope that this book will prove to be not altogether unworthy of its predecessors, and that the nature of the lessons will establish it as a useful introduction to Greek linguistics, a field that is uniquely suited to provide new light on the words of Scriptures. The text is divided into 26 lessons, most of which are arranged according to the following pattern: a presentation of the grammatical concepts and forms to be learned, divided into manageable units, a list of essential vocabulary words to be mastered, and exercises based on the material covered in the lesson. The book is suitable for study or review, for individual or group work, as part of a refresher course, or as a handy reference guide. In most classroom settings, it can be used for a full year of study by taking up a lesson a week with ample time for supplementary testing and review. It seems as though that with us, it's going to be more time than a year, you know. But you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, we'll be like the ancient Greeks. We'll give it a vote. The first democracy in Athens there, okay? Several characteristics of the lessons as a whole deserve a few words of explanation. In presenting the grammar proper, every attempt has been made not just to state rules, but to give the student an understanding of the nature of the language, especially in such fundamental topics as the significance of verbal aspect and the function of the article. Since many students are unfamiliar with grammar, and particularly with grammatical nomenclature, each topic is introduced by a simple preliminary explanation of terminology with illustrations from the English language. You know, so this text is ideal for all of us, no matter where in the Greek we are, whether we've never even taken a foreign language before, even. Number three, throughout the text I've adopted the simplest language possible to explain the subject matter and have included only those linguistic concepts and terms that in my judgment have the clearest application to the teaching of beginning Greek, or should I say beginning Koine Greek. Since the most inspiring approach to ancient Greek is through original Greek sentences, the lessons contain numerous examples derived from the New Testament itself, as far as possible, containing only grammatical forms already introduced. Rote memorizations of paradigms. What's a paradigm? Rote memorization of paradigms has been kept to an absolute minimum. What is a paradigm? Well, here is what a paradigm is. A paradigm is a set of all inflected forms based on a single stem. Again, a paradigm is a set of all inflected forms based on a single stem. And what he's saying is, he's saying rote memorization of these paradigms is going to be avoided. What's an example of a paradigm? A paradigm would be like boy, and then the plural boys, B-O-Y-S, and then the personal aspect of the word, B-O-Y-S, with apostrophe on top, that'll tell you it's the boy's bike. So we have a paradigm would be a boy, or plural boys, or identifying a certain object to a certain boy, as in boys, B-O-Y-S, with an apostrophe in the English, if you understand what I'm saying. That is a paradigm. Now, what he's saying is that, and I've taken Greek courses like this, rather than sitting down and memorizing all of these charts of these paradigms, he's going to avoid that because he feels that that's going to bog us down and maybe even scare us. All right? And I've taken classical Greek courses where you just memorize these paradigms, and you could take a test and maybe even ace it, but in a week you forget what you even learned and why. Well, that's not what this is going to be about. All right? I have a great feeling about this, that everything that we learn here is going to stick. If you got half a heart to stick with this, this knowledge is going to stay with you. It's not going to be something that you're going to be afraid of, and then you're going to go, you're just going to go through it, and then tomorrow you're going to not even care what you studied. I think that this is going to stick with you, and I think that this professor understood that, and that's the way he's going to teach this. And I particularly think this is the best text I've ever seen of Greek in my life. So we learned about a paradigm. Rote memorizations of paradigms has been kept to an absolute minimum, and the student is instead taught how to recognize basic patterns in words and how to interpret these through morphological analysis. What is morphological analysis? Morphological analysis is analysis of the patterns of word formation in a language. Morphological analysis is the analysis of the pattern of word formation in a language. And, particularly, English has different word patterns than Greek. And here's one thing I was going to mention later, but I'll mention it now, that as we go on, this author is going to compare the English with the Greek. Eventually, what I would want you guys to do is not to eventually do that, because Greek, Koine Greek, is not English, and English is not Koine Greek. And as our friend Eddie the Greek has rightly said, when you study the Koine Greek, you're studying Koine Greek. And you want to open up, as he says, the Koine Greek channel of your mind. So what you're going to be doing, you can say, well, what does that mean? Well, you're not going to be studying English, you're going to be studying Koine Greek. And initially, we're going to use the English language to help us understand what we're studying. But as we go on, it would be good for you just to try in your mind to look at the Greek for what it is. Because if you look at the New Testament that I sent you, if you look at the Byzantine text and you open it up, most of you should be frightened to death. That is to say, when you look at it, you might not even know what you're looking at this point. Because why is that? Because it's all in Koine Greek. It's not an interlinear. It's just all Koine Greek. But eventually, you're going to be able to open up that New Testament and you're going to read it like English. And so, I think that it would behoove us all, seriously, and this isn't an easy thing to do, but just as we go, to not to counter, fall back on the English, because there are instances where an English translation of the Greek just isn't totally correct. But let's just go on from there. All right? So a morphological analysis, again, is a analysis of the patterns of the word formation of a language. Number six, as an aid to understanding, various visual devices have been adopted, including the use of bold type, underlined tables, and graphs. And I think what you should do is, when you look at a lesson before we... before we begin each time, you should look the lesson over and get used to it. You know, one thing that I find about myself is that I can look over something and not really see it. It's like walking into a new room and sitting down on the couch and then taking off, leaving, and then somebody says, "Well, what was on the wall?" And even though you were staring at it for 15 minutes, you don't know. I've been there. You kind of like stare at stuff. Your mind kind of wanders. Well, when you look at these lessons, what helps me is to concentrate on what I'm looking at, rather than, we're going to study Greek this week. Let's just try to get through this. No, this is for you. You know, this is these lessons are for you so that you know more about the Almighty's chosen word for the New Testament, Koine Greek. So the thing to do is to look at these lessons. If he's got a grayed out box, kind of pay attention to that. Pay attention to major headings. Pay attention to the exercises at the end. You know, and what why he's giving you certain exercises. Rather than just trying to get through it. This isn't a class where we're just trying to get through it. I would rather think that this is a class that's going to be incorporated, and this knowledge is going to be incorporated into the very fibers of our lives, into our being, so that when we open up and we see Greek words that deal with the scriptures, we really enjoy it, and you can, because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing. And let's go on. Verse 7. Finally, in presenting the chief features of the language, primary principles have been set forth in large type, while matters of detail have been presented in reduced type, without implying that the topics so presented are of minor importance or can be skipped. The various inflected and uninflected forms. What is an inflected form? What is inflection? All right? And see, initially, so far, we've already learned a few things about language that I didn't know before. The definitions of these certain things. If somebody walked up to any one of us and said, what is an inflected form in a language? Could you answer that question? Well, we're going to deal with a lot of inflected forms as we go on. So, it would behoove us to understand what an inflected form is, what an inflection is. Okay, an inflection. An inflection is the process of changing the base root of a form. Now, let me say this to you, that ultimately and precisely, there are no words in the Greek. There are either roots or there are forms. So, even though this author, and that's where I disagree with him, using the word word for a Greek word, there are English words, but there are either Greek roots or there are Greek forms. Alright? So, inflection, the process of changing the base root of a form, thereby indicating a change in meaning. What does that mean? That means that you're going to have a Greek root word, and that root is either going to be its actual root or it's going to be a form of the root. And an inflected form is where you have the root, and then you either add a prefix or a suffix, and it changes the root into an inflected form, a changed form, a changed base root, I should say. So an inflected form, inflection, the process of changing the base root of a form, thereby indicating a change in meaning. And, well, there you have it. You're going to have many inflected forms of Greek roots, and these inflected forms are going to have different meanings somewhat than the roots. And that is very basic to this language. You're going to do this, or this is done, by adding things before the root, prefixes, and things after the root, suffixes. So that's what an inflected form is. Awesome, isn't it? And just you and I knowing that, and keeping that in mind, that goes a long way in this language, believe me. Back to the text, it says, the various inflected and uninflected forms presented here are normal for a beginning grammar. In view of the fact that many students have had no prior exposure to verb inflection, special care has been given to the gradual description of Greek tenses. The tenses of the active indicative, and this is going to get a little bit, right away we're going to get a little bit going here, but don't worry about these words right now. You're going to be learning about all of this, so just drink it in, all right? Let's go back. The tenses of the active indicative are presented as follows. Present and future in Lesson 3, imperfect and aorist in Lesson 7. And believe me, the aorist tense, as far as the dispensation of the mystery is concerned, is very, very important. So, all of a sudden, we're touching on something, an inflected form, that is very important to you in the aorist tense. You'll find that aorist tense in verbs are the majority of verbs in our calling. And we'll learn what the aorist is. So automatically, we should automatically be excited already. I am. Just by knowing that. All right. Let's go back. The tenses of the active indicative are presented as follows. Present and future in Lesson 3. Imperfect and aorist in Lesson 7. And perfect and pluperfect in Lesson 10. Subsequent lessons treat the middle and passive voices of the indicative mood, contract and liquid verbs, participles, infinitives, the subjunctive mood, the imperative and optative moods, and finally verbs of the mu-iota conjugation. Wow. I mean, that's a mouthful, isn't it? Yeah, but we're eventually going to learn all of that. And one thing that I want all of us to do, or not to do, is to cower away and say, oh man, that sounds way too complicated. Well, it's not. And we have the Holy Spirit, and we're saved believers. That's a tremendous help, believe me. And I think the Lord Almighty sanctions what we're doing, no doubt. And there's no doubt that all of you wanting to learn his Koine, he's going to help you. So rather than saying, oh, this seems way too complicated, don't defeat yourself before you started. And just drink this in. And we'll do this all together. And believe me, it's all gravy right from now. Considerable effort has been made to place paradigms of more or less similar forms. We already know what a paradigm is. Okay? Paradigms of more or less or similar form. What's a paradigm again? A paradigm is a set of inflected forms based on a single stem. And we use the example of boy, boys, and the personal boys with an apostrophe in the English. The boy's bike, you know. That's a paradigm, and he's saying that, let me find my place again. Considerable effort has been made to place paradigms of more or less similar forms side by side for ease of comprehension, as with the present and the future active indicative. And again, don't let the active indicative and the aorist and all that scare you. Just let it happen. As well as to have new forms follow related ones in natural sequence, as with contract and liquid verbs. On the other hand, the introduction of the middle and passive voices have been deliberately postponed until after the entire active system has been learned, a sequence that in actual practice has achieved the goal of a clearer understanding of the significance of verbal aspect in New Testament Greek. See, I've taken, like I told you, I took classical Greek in college. And there wasn't a person that had the knowledge of this professor, and I believe he knows and loves the Lord, and I think that he taught for many years in this, and he saw some of the pitfalls of just dashing all of these tables and inflections on the students rather than applying them to understanding the New Testament. See, and what this professor has done is I believe he's chopped out, so to say, all the things that might be initially confusing, and he's made this text so that all of us can begin learning the New Testament without getting confused. That's what's going on here. Let's go on. In order that the learner may have some opportunity to become acquainted with the Greek tenses before facing the challenge of inflection, a preliminary overview of the Greek verb system is given in Lesson 2. This is supplemented by a comprehensive review of the indicative mood in Lesson 16. Are you all still with me? Somebody just say yes. Thank you. All right. You know, if here again, if you know, I would rather have you drink this in. Rock on, thank you. I would rather have you drink this in, and you know, I'd rather have you drink this in and understand it. But you know, this is all very important to go through. If you're wondering, why are you going through this? It's extremely important. It is, and I think that if you stop after tonight and you go back for yourselves, as you should, and you read this over again, take the definitions I gave you or find them for yourself in the dictionary like I did, if you want, you'll get a good picture of what Professor Black is trying to do. And that's important. That's important, rather than just flying into a book, which I remember in courses at school, you'd fly into these texts and all of a sudden you'd have to start cramming in knowledge, and it didn't seem comfortable. Well, what I'm attempting to do here is to make this comfortable. And it is. It's very comfortable, as the Greek goes. Next chapter. The vocabularies contain words that are of great enough frequency in the Greek New Testament to justify recommending that these words be learned permanently as soon as encountered. Very important. All the words of one type have been grouped together, and an unusually full list of English cognitives. What's a cognitive? Well, I'm laughing now because I didn't write that one down. Let's keep on going. Just forget about that one. A full list of English cognitives and derivatives have been provided in order to demonstrate the close relationship between English and Greek. Well, here again, we can take this author's word for it. But as time goes on, I'm telling you that I have it from as good authorities or better than this author, that it's better to look at the Koine Greek for itself rather than constantly comparing it to the English. But having said that, I'm gonna sort of leave that alone for now, but just remember that. I think Gary put up the definition of cognitive up there for you. Thank you very much. Remember, we're learning a language, you know, so you have to take that into consideration. But I do think this. I think that since we're learning the language of the Almighty, I think it's going to be a lot of great fun, really. That's what I believe. Okay, let's go back. It says, all the words of one type have been grouped together, and an unusually full list of English cognitives and derivatives have been provided in order to demonstrate the close relationship between the English and the Greek, and to enable the student to learn the vocabulary as easily and as comprehensively as possible. Wherever possible, Greek roots have been added to the word lists. Well, remember I told you that there are no Greek words, there are forms. There are roots and forms. At any rate, every time you come up against a Greek vocabulary form, learn it. Learn its definition. Put it down in a book. Keep a notebook like you would in school. Put each Greek form or root down in the book and write out its definition. Boy, this seems like a lot of work, Mike. I don't know about a lot of work, but it's some work. And, you know, what you get is what you put in. So that's going to be up to you guys. That's going to be up to, just like studying the scriptures. Your wife can't do it for you. Your children can't do it for you. You have to do it for yourself. So whatever you put in, that's what you get out. And the same as it is in the scriptures. This is a device for the easing of the burden of vocabulary acquisition, and the instructor who uses this book as a text may wish to require these forms to be learned as a part of the regular vocabulary, especially by students who plan to continue their studies of the Greek beyond the first year. We just have a couple of chapters to go, and then we can either stop for a couple minutes or I can keep on going. Some of the stuff in this text I'm not going to read, but I just read through it and I'm taking out the important parts. The Greek to English exercises in the text are designed to illustrate the new grammatical principles introduced in the lesson, as well as those forms and grammatical usages that have been discussed previously. By going over these exercises again and again, like any pro, the student will gain considerable facility in the workings of the language. So here's a man that teaches people day after day, and his statement is that if you go over and over these exercises, you're going to become proficient. So it's a matter, I'll get off harping on you, but it's a matter of what you want. That's what you're going to get. The student will gain considerable facility in the workings of the language. First, for the first part of the book, these sentences have only rarely been taken from the New Testament, though I have tried not to introduce any usages that are unusual to the New Testament idiom. What is idiom? What is an idiom? All right. An idiom. Okay, he's talking about New Testament idioms, which is interesting. An idiom is an expression particular to a language whose meaning cannot be derived from the elements of the expression. Well, what does that mean? Well, an example, and remember, he's talking about, let's go back to what he said. He said, for the first part of the book, these sentences have only rarely been taken from the New Testament, though I have tried not to introduce any usages that are unnatural to New Testament idiom. Well, what he means by this is an idiom is like this, kick the bucket. That's an idiom, kick the bucket. Now, that's an English idiom. Now, apparently, the New Testament has idioms that are particular to the Koine Greek. Now, does kick the bucket in the English mean to kick a bucket? Well, no. It's an idiom which means to die. Or, hey, why don't you kick the bucket? Why don't you drop dead? Kick the bucket. That is an English idiom. Apparently, there are New Testament idioms that are specific to God's New Testament. And what this author is saying is that even in the first number of lessons, he's going to use forms that are not unlike the New Testament idioms. And then I think it's after lesson 18, then apparently he's going to get into the actual Greek New Testament. And he says that, beginning with lesson 18, however, excerpts from the Greek New Testament are used exclusively. And believe me, I've been around a little bit, and you could, if you have some extra money, go take a look at some Greek texts that are out there. And it'd be interesting for you to look at them. This one is many, many times over less confusing than some of them that I have on my shelf. Let's go back. Beginning with lesson 18, however, excerpts from the Greek New Testament are used exclusively for the translation exercises. This use of genuine or Koine Greek has a twofold aim. To give, now this is really important. This is what this instructor and what I would hope that we all come to the conclusion of as we go. The aim of the use of this Koine Greek is twofold: to give students an insight into the language and the thought of New Testament writers, and I'll further go on to say, into the language and the thought of the Godhead through God, the Holy Spirit. And two, to prepare them for the crowning experience of these studies, reading and understanding the original text, I'll put in, of Koine Greek of the New Testament. So what we're going to learn here is we're going to learn the language and the thought of the Godhead through God the Holy Spirit through the Koine Greek. And see, what that drives me personally. This is the language that God the Holy Spirit used. And if I can learn that, I can learn about more of the mind of God through God the Holy Spirit. And that drives me. I don't know how it couldn't. And then furthermore, the aim of what we're doing here is so that when you open up that Byzantine text, eventually you're going to open it up, and rather than being shocked, you're going to start reading it and understanding it. And won't that be a kick? Won't that be exciting? Yeah, it is. A prime consideration in the inclusion of these excerpts was that the material be interesting per se and not chosen merely because it illustrates forms and syntax. What is syntax? Syntax is the pattern of form order in a statement or a phrase in a particular language. That is to say, in the English, syntax would be the study of the pattern of word order in a sentence. That's what syntax is. Syntax in the Greek is the study of the pattern of form order or root order in a sentence or a phrase. That's Greek syntax. Because the emphasis throughout the text is on reading Greek rather than on the Greek composition, the treatment of Greek accents has been assigned to the appendix. But we're going to go over the accents. Any other omissions include English to Greek exercises, numerals and such rare forms and constructions as the future participle and infinitive, most of the optative, and the mu eta used as a conjunction. Thus the reader will find here little that is simply interesting. The subjects presented are directly relevant to the interpretation of the Koine Greek New Testament. Hence, it is all the more critical that the student learn well whatever principles are included so as to be able to move as quickly as possible from Greek to exegesis, the critical explanation or interpretation of the scriptures in the Greek. And that's what we're going to be moving to. All right? Is everybody still with me? Yes, yes. Okay, I've got about a page more to read. Do you guys want to take a break at all? No. Anybody want to take a break? No. All right. Okay, we're gonna go on. Okay. Now you should be on Roman numeral 10. Okay, and we ended a paragraph with the word exegesis. Now skip the rest of that page. You can study that for yourself. Go down to where it says from the author to the reader. All right, on page Roman numeral 11, is everybody with us? And you could say, why are we doing this? Well, I'll tell you, go back after we're done and read these pages again and again. And what, it's important because you're going to get the foundation of the writer of this text who is a believer and what he's trying to do with your mind. That's important. That's why I'm starting out with this. From the author to the reader, welcome to the study and output of Koine Greek. The goal of this book is to help you learn to read and understand the Koine Greek New Testament. Even if you have never studied a foreign language before, awesome, man. None of us should be afraid, right? All right, I studied Greek in college, but before that I took French in junior high school, in the 8th grade, or 8th and 9th grade. I studied French for a year and a half, and I think I can say the French from 1 to 10. That's it. So, you know, I'm no expert, and, you know, that makes me feel great. All right? Whether you are trying to write a solemn expository sermon, preparing an accurate Sunday school lesson, express proper theology, I don't like that word, but proper theology in the lyrics of a song, or translate the Koine Greek New Testament into a foreign language, New Testament Greek is a guide without which you are likely to stumble or even miss the way. The focus throughout this book is on those aspects of grammar where Greek offers its greatest contributions to the understanding of the New Testament, contributions that are generally not attainable from an English translation. Amen. It's going to help us understand more fully the mind of God through God the Holy Spirit. That's a fact. The principles and methods used in Learn to Read New Testament Greek will enable you to make rapid progress in your studies. New information is introduced in small, manageable units, and points of grammar are fully explained and lavishly illustrated. After 17 lessons, you will begin reading selective passages from the Greek Koine Greek New Testament, and by the end of the course, you will be able to read much of the Greek New Testament without constant reference to a dictionary. You will also have an understanding of the structure of the Greek language and ability to use commentaries and other works based on the Greek text, and a growing capacity to plumb the depths of God's revelation for yourself. And I got a note here. Sounds great to me. Furthermore, in Learn to Read New Testament Greek, rote memorization of grammatical forms has been kept to an absolute minimum. Instead, you will learn to recognize reoccurring patterns in words and how to interpret these through linguistic principles. This will equip you to read even unfamiliar passages from the New Testament with confidence. In addition, by learning the basic word lists, nearly 75% of the words of the Greek New Testament will be familiar to you. 75%. And the rest will be within reach of an intelligent guess. You know, and then furthermore, if you consult lexicons and such, you should be pretty well equipped. When you begin a new lesson, read it. Here are his suggestions, and keep this in mind. As you use this text, follow these simple instructions. When you begin a new lesson, read it through quickly, then study it section by section. Don't just, you know, like whip through it. Look at it. Consciously look at it, and don't just stare at it. You know, I'm just saying that from my own personal dumbness. Rather than just staring at something, look at it, read it, incorporate it, live it. Then study it section by section, pausing at the end of each short section to assimilate its context. You know, we got all the time, I was going to say, in the world. Well, that could end tomorrow. But on the other hand, you know, like we're not being graded here. There are no exams. There's no failing. We're really under not a lot of pressure. Like we would be in a college class. Take your time and just have a good time in it. Relax and have a good time. I think that's what Professor Black is trying to say. Or at least that's what I'm trying to say. Never begin a new lesson until you are thoroughly familiar with the previous one. Well, you know, I'm going to attempt to do that through this pal talk here, but you know, if we spend 10 sessions on lesson one, I think that would be rather ridiculous, don't you? So you know, we're all going to get together after this first lesson here, and we'll discuss this. We'll take a vote as to what you guys think. I think that going over a lesson at least twice is good. You know, maybe three times that might get then what? I mean, all of us might have a little bit of a comfort level that's different than one another. But we can talk about that. And maybe what I could do here is this, is it's approaching almost 8 o'clock, right? Maybe what we could do here is I could finish this reading, and then we can at least go through the Greek alphabet, all right? And then what I'll do is I'll stop there, and then we can talk about what we learned tonight. And then we can discuss a couple things if you want or have any questions, okay? That's what we're going to do. Because I think that, we wanted to do maybe an hour and a half with questions and stuff, maybe 2 hours maximum for this class might be a good thing, rather than getting all dragged out and burned out, And, here again, all of you have a... You do have to, do things on your own. That's what this is all about. Okay, let's keep on going. Let's go back to two. When you feel you've understood the lesson, begin the exercises. To benefit most of the text, do all the exercises. Each has been designed to give you extensive practice in using a specific Greek structure. If you are part of a Greek class, be careful not to fall behind in exercises, since catching up is extremely difficult in an elementary course. Never write the English translation of words in your textbook. If you do, you remember the English and forget the Greek. I totally agree with him on that one. Instead, do all exercises on a separate sheet of paper, then read the exercises again, preferably out loud, until you are able to translate them easily and quickly. Finally, enjoy your studies and take pleasure in your progress. Don't get impatient if your pace seems slow. Learning a foreign language requires a great deal of time and effort. Claims of miracle methods by which languages can be learned in a few days or weeks are utterly irresponsible and unfounded. Awesome. Praise the Lord. On the other hand, if you make proper use of your instruction, you will be surprised how rapidly you progress. By the end of the course, you will actually be reading your Koine Greek New Testament in the original Greek. All right. Skip over to lesson number one on page one. All right? Everybody still with me? And what we're going to do is we're just going to learn the alphabet. All right? Yep. Okay, everybody with me. We're just going to learn the alphabet. And, the alphabet is extremely important. Don't take it lightly at all. Because if you learn the Koine Greek alphabet, and, it's going to seem strange at first. And weird, compared to the English. There's some, there's some similarities, but there's some weird sections in the Koine Greek alphabet. But if you learn the Koine Greek alphabet, automatically a Greek lexicon, and a lexicon is just a fancy word for dictionary. A Greek lexicon is invaluable to you. That means it's extremely valuable to any student of the Koine Greek New Testament. And once you learn, especially the lowercase Greek alphabet, you'll be able to go to your Greek lexicon and you'll be able to look up Koine Greek words without stumbling around and being confused. So learning the Koine Greek alphabet, I cannot stress the importance of it, and in writing it, and in memorizing it. But, you know, here again, we're not under any time constraint. I'd rather, you know, you're going to have to, it'd be good to memorize it. I think Gary's got something he might mention or not, a way to memorize it, you know, but learn it. I guess that's the best way to put it. Learn at least what you see on the screen as the lowercase Koine Greek alphabet, okay? And then that'll take you miles and miles into different Greek books like Greek lexicons, Greek dictionaries. And I'll tell you, you'll have a great time when you study the scriptures, and all of a sudden you'll end up looking up a Greek form in a Greek lexicon, and you'll start getting acquainted with that Greek lexicon. And I think you'll get a lot of joy out of that, and you'll get a lot of learning out of that, is what's going to happen. And once you start moving around in those books, it'll just keep on snowballing, believe me. I've been there, or I am there, you know. So I know that to be true, and, I didn't come from any, silver-spooned place in life. You know, I basically had to do a lot of work for what I know, so I'm not unlike anybody at all. All right. Let's look at page 1. The first step in studying New Testament Greek, or Koine Greek, is learning how to read and write the Greek alphabet. Learning the order and sounds of the Greek letters will help break down the strangeness between you and Koine Greek. I'm putting the word Koine in there because Koine Greek is not modern Greek. Matter of fact, modern Greek, if you just learn modern Greek, I heard that modern Greek-speaking people, I heard look at Koine Greek as something that is kind of like lost in antiquity or something. Learning the order and sounds of the Greek letters will help break down the strangeness between you and the Koine Greek and enable you to find a word in a Greek-English dictionary and reveal the relationship between the Koine Greek and English words. 1. The language of the Greek New Testament. You are embarking on a study of one of the most significant languages in the world. Its importance lies not so much in its wealth of forms as in the fact that God used it as an instrument to communicate His Word. Now, if that doesn't drive you, I don't know what would. Just as He had earlier in the use of Hebrew and the Aramaic, history tells us that the ancient Hellenes first settled in the Greek peninsula in the 13th century B.C. Their language consisted of several dialects, one of which, the Attic, spoken in Athens, became the most prominent. It was largely a descendant of Attic Greek that was adopted as the official language of the Greek Empire after the conquests of Alexander the Great. Alexander the Great lived from 356 B.C. to 323 B.C. This New World language has been called Koine or Common Greek since it was the common language of the everyday commerce and communication. In the city of Rome itself, Greek was used as much as Latin, and when Paul wrote his letter to the Roman Christians, he wrote it in Koine Greek. This, then, is the language of the New Testament, a language belonging to the living stream of the historical development of Greek, from the ancient Hellenes to the modern Athenians, a language spoken by common and cultured people alike, a language uniquely suited to the propagation of the good message of Christ when it began to be proclaimed among the nations of the world. The first step in studying Greek is learning its letters and sounds. This is not as hard as you might think. All the sounds are easy to make, and the Koine Greek almost always follows the phonetic values of its letter. We should mention the pronunciation you are learning is something of a compromise between how the sounds were probably produced in the ancient times and how they are spelled. Well, let's just look at the Koine Greek alphabet. And what we're going to be, you'll notice here, I have a note that I wrote to myself. Again, I'm going to emphasize this. Although helpful in the beginning, consciously abandon falling back to the English in your mind. Learn Koine Greek purely for what it is, not how it compares to what you know already. All right. We're going to go over the Greek alphabet. Now, I come from a bit of a learning of a Koine Greek background, and there are a few letters in here that some of you might have learned differently than how I'm going to propose them, and I'll just show you. We'll go over that. All right, let's just go through the Greek alphabet, and it'll just come out. And then we're going to end with this tonight. We're going to learn the Greek alphabet. What you do is I would concentrate on the lowercase alphabet. Now, just just for the heck of it, turn to page 5 at the bottom. All right, I'm going to read something here that I'm just going to tell you that I personally don't fully agree with, but let's just read a couple of sentences, okay? Go to page 5, and it says the use and formation of Greek letters. I just want to get a little ahead of myself and just say something. It says here on the bottom of page 5, the Greek uppercase letters are the oldest forms of the Koine Greek. This is true. They are found in ancient inscriptions and are used in the modern printed books to begin proper nouns, paragraphs, and direct speech, where English would use quotation marks. Greek sentences do not, however, begin with capital letters. And then he goes on to say, the lowercase letters are therefore of greater importance than the capitals and should be mastered first. Well, first of all, his statement about Greek sentences do not, however, begin with capital letters. You're going to see in, as he stated, though, you're going to see in, like, your Byzantine text that verses do begin with capital letters. Greek letters, but he actually stated that. Then he said that the lowercase letters are of greater importance, which I guess I could agree with to a point. If you ever get to the point where you want to look at a copy of the closest thing called a codex, the earliest copies of our New Testament Greek, they're written in uncial form, which is all capital letters. So, but I just wanted to mention that we're going to be learning the lowercase alphabet, But if you can, I wouldn't say that the uppercase alphabet is of less importance if you really get into study of the Koine, because originally the New Testament was written from the hands of the apostles in the larger case or uncial Greek form. But let's go back. Let's go back to the alphabet, all right? And just at any rate, concentrate on where it says lowercase. All right, here we go. The first letter, alpha. It's not alpha, it's alpha. The next letter, some say is beta. But I'm going to say, from the so-called experts that I know, it's beta. It's not beta, it's beta. The next is gamma. It's not gamma, it's gamma. Now, why make such a big deal out of it? Well, this is one thing that Eddie the Greek drove into my head, that if you're going to learn the Lord's language, learn it correctly. Don't kind of slug your way through it. And I'm not getting on your case, I'm getting on mine. Don't just haphazardly, willy-nilly yourself through God's language that He chose. Learn it correctly. Speak it correctly. When there is an accent, accent the words correctly. Don't just get them wrong and think that that's okay. Be very precise. Be very specific. Because I will say that if you do, you will get more blessing from the Almighty Himself. I'm going to go as far as saying that. Because the more specific you are in His Word and in His chosen language, the more you're going to learn. So it's gamma, not gamma. Delta is the next one. Epsilon is the next one. The next one is long. Or no, the next one is zeta. Now some people, pardon me, I made a mistake. Some people pronounce that zeta. And, you know, I'm not going to say that's right or wrong, but I'm going to say this. According to the knowledgeable guys that I know, that I spoke to you about earlier, it's zeta. Just like beta is beta, and just like zeta is zeta. All right? So it's alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta. The next one is long. It's eta. So it's epsilon, zeta, eta. Now, again, some teach that beta is beta, and that zeta is zeta. But I'm saying to you that it's beta and it's zeta. And then eta is long. That is correct. It's eta. And notice how that's written. The next one, people pronounce it as theta, but it's theta, as far as I'm taught. So, going back, instead of beta, it's beta. Instead of zeta, it's zeta. And instead of theta, it's theta. Then people teach that the next one that looks like an I is iota. But that could be no further from the truth. It's iota. Iota, not iota. Not when they say it's there's not one iota of truth in that. It should be there's not one iota of truth in that. So it's eta, theta, iota, kappa, not kappa, kappa, lambda, mu. the next page, new, and then we have an interesting one called Z, like wax, Z, you know, like wax, Z, not Xi, Z, Omicron, not Omicron, it's Omicron, and it's P, not pi. It's supposed to be P. A lot of the world says pi. Well, it's P. Next is rho. Sigma. Tau. Upsilon. Oops. Here, you know, they have a long and short oops and like loot and put. I guess I'm not going to go into that. I learned it as upsilon. Next one is phi, chi, psi, and omega. Again, and you know, you can use this chart. I notice here that they have iota as a long and a short. Machine, you know, iota. I never learned it as iota. It says pit there for under iota or under. I'm sorry, under iota. It has pit. I've never learned it as iota. I've always learned it as iota. So let's go through it again. And what you can do is we're going to stop here. But what you can do is you can turn yourselves to page number 6. And Barney had this up earlier. And it's how to form the lowercase letters of the Koine Greek. And you should start doing that. You should start writing them out. Just take this chart that's like on the screen right now and start writing the lowercase letters out. And then what you can do is you can even get yourself a Koine Greek lexicon or dictionary and start looking up. Here, Barney has on here now how you form the lowercase letters. And in actuality, this line that's here should be up a little bit because some of these tails on these words go below the line. So maybe I can eventually show you that. But it would be a good exercise, as this author, Professor Black, has showed you, of how to write these letters. And in writing these lowercase letters, this builds the Koine Greek channel of your mind. You get, as you write the letters, you get more familiar with the forms, and then you look in the Koine Greek lexicon and dictionary. That gets more familiar. And let me tell you, it's fun. You know, I mean, if you love the scriptures, it's fun. It is. You start becoming familiar with these things. And that's what you want to do. You want to build a familiarity with the Koine Greek. And the best way to do that is to write it, to look at it, look at the words. Look at the forms, look at the roots, get yourself a good lexicon, and start looking up definitions of Koine Greek forms and roots. Let's go over the alphabet again, and then we'll open this up for questions tonight. And again, this is how I learned it. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon, zeta, eta, theta, or wait, I'm sorry, zeta, I made a mistake, zeta, eta, theta, I hope I didn't confuse you, zeta, eta, theta, iota, kappa, lambda, mu, nu, C, Omicron, P, Rho, Sigma, Tau, Upsilon, Phi, Chi, Psi, Omega. And I hope you guys had a great time. Now, actually I got about halfway through lesson one, or maybe not even, maybe about a third of the way through, but that means we have to go back to it again next time, so that's great. But I suppose that what we can say is that at this point, we should all by next time know how to at least in a pretty good way write the lowercase Greek alphabet, okay? So now I'll open this up for any comments or anything you guys want to talk about, and let's have a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this period of time, this medium, and all the guys that put this together, all the people that are here that want to learn about your New Testament Koine Greek. We all love you very much. We love your word. We love our calling, and we know that in learning your chosen Koine Greek language of your New Testament word, or your word after your Son, that you would bless us in that, help us, give us a zeal for it, and help us have a really great time and a love for learning your Koine Greek. Be with us all. Help us study and have a joy in it. Thank you for your blessing and continue. We pray that you would continue to bless us all. In the name of our Lord and Savior and Head and Creator of all things, Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen.